Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Art of Living radio show with me, Victoria Mary Clark. Today I am talking to a person called Stephen Travers, who is a havening practitioner. Would that be right to say that?
That's correct.
And havening is not something that many people that I know are familiar with, so you will have to explain what exactly is havening.
Yes, well, first of all, thanks for inviting me on to your show, Victoria.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just give you a little background about myself. I've been working in the personal and professional development field for the last decade.
Can I ask you what got you into that field?
Well, I used to suffer with panic attacks.
Oh, yeah.
That was part of the reason. I had really severe panic attacks for a year or so.
And what kind of things made you have a panic attack? What did you panic about?
It was just stress. Too much. I was working very hard, partying hard as well.
What were you working at?
I was doing sales and marketing.
Oh, that is hard.
There was a lot of pressure with deadlines and...
What were you selling?
I was selling different telecommunication products, things like broadband, phone packages.
Right.
I was also training teams of sales reps as well.
Yeah.
So it was a...
So it's high pressure and you've got to meet targets.
It's high pressure, you're busy, you have to get targets. And yeah, a lot of stress. So.
And would you have a freak out like in front of a customer, or would you freak out by... I'm sorry, I shouldn't even be like...
Yeah, well, I did. I freaked out one day in front of a customer. I had a panic attack in front of them.
Oh, my God.
So...
And what happened? What happened?
Well, I was literally talking to them about the products, and I started having a panic attack. I just felt really anxious. I felt like I was going to die. I was getting heart palpitations. I started feeling this cold shiver go through my body, and the person actually had to sit down with me and get me some water and calm me down. Yeah.
And this was your customer?
Yeah.
And did the customer feel obliged to buy something as a result of this? Did that trigger a guilt response?
No, they weren't even like, their phone they had and stuff, it didn't even really qualify for what we had, it turned out, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but they were very nice. So after that happened and... I really decided I was going to do something about it.
The first time you've had a panic attack at work?
Yes. Yeah.
The first time?
That was the first time at work. I had them before, but that was the first time. So that made me decide to do something about it. I was always interested in the field of psychology.
Well, you would be a salesperson.
Because there's a lot of, positive mental exercises and techniques we would use. But so after that I started studying, I started looking at different fields that would help me. I was looking at psychotherapy, counselling, but from what I was reading I found a lot of it was just basic talk therapy, and from my research people didn't seem to get that great of results, and they seemed to be doing therapy for weeks, months, even years without even getting a result from it. And as I researched it, hypnotherapy kept coming up. I could notice people seemed to be getting positive results with hypnosis, and something as well called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is a set of psychological techniques. So I was very interested in the whole field of psychology anyway, and I decided I'd study it myself and get rid of my panic attacks also, because I was looking to make a career transition at some point, and that seemed like something that possibly would suit me, so I ended up studying it.
I've always been curious about people who do hypnosis and NLP,
because
I also studied hypnosis and NLP, and I realised that you can, if you applied that in a sales environment, you could be a much more powerful and persuasive salesperson. Did you ever try to do that?
You could see great salespeople or politicians or anyone who's trying to influence someone. They are like hypnotists. They're trying to influence the way you think.
Yeah.
Even the way you behave.
And they want to get you to like them and to feel rapport and to feel,
pleasant
associations.
Yeah, exactly. So, a lot of sales training companies teach people NLP skills and even... you know, hypnotic techniques. I remember actually Paul McKenna talking about this when he started doing hypnotherapy trainings. He was surprised at the amount of sales and marketing people who were turning up at these trainings, because he thought it would all be therapists.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of business type people coming along looking for some tricks and tools and how to influence people, which is fine to a degree. It makes you a better communicator. So you can use these skills and tools for many things, especially when it comes to communication.
And what was your intention in learning them? It was more therapeutic.
Well, first of all, I wanted to help myself.
Yeah.
I was very curious about the mind, how it worked. Obviously, working in sales and marketing, I was already learning a lot about communication, persuasion. So, you know, I just naturally gravitated towards it. And when I was actually studying it, and as I started to help people, I felt really good about that.
So you got qualified?
Yeah.
As a
hypnotherapist. Mm. I studied with the Institute of Clinical Hypnotherapy and Psychotherapy in Griffith College with a doctor called Joseph Keeney. So, you know, what really got me into it as well was, you know, I really enjoyed helping people and helping people change.
Right. And what kind of things did you help them with?
Well, you know, the typical things that people associate hypnosis to, like things, you know,
smoking.
Quit smoking.
That's the main one, smoking, isn't
it? A lot
it?
Of people associate with that, weight loss.
Yeah.
But saying that, you know, working a lot with people with anxiety, fears, phobias, panic attacks, confidence issues, and then general personal and professional development work, you know, people want to be better communicators. You know, they want to get over the fear of public speaking.
That's a big one.
You know, they want to feel maybe more motivated or
you
know, achieve certain goals in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd use hypnosis for that also.
And did you get results straight away, or did you have like situations where you might try, like when you were training, try to cure smoking or weight loss or something and fail? Or
I found, like, first of all, I was getting results quite quickly. I found hypnosis was very powerful once you applied it properly, so, you know, it worked most of the time.
Yeah,
you know, it worked on most people most of the time, especially if people wanted to do it.
I just remember a friend of mine going for hypnosis for smoking, and she found herself smoking more afterwards.
Yeah, it really depends on the practitioner you go to see. Like any profession, it varies greatly. It really depends on the skill, knowledge, and obviously the experience of the practitioner you go and see. Like, you know, there's people out there that are great. There's great accountants, there's not so good accountants. There's great hairdressers, there's not so good. You know, there's great hypnotherapists, and unfortunately, there's not so good therapists out there also.
So you're one of the good ones.
I would like to think so.
And people are going to get a chance to see you in action. You're going to present at...
Yeah, I'm going to be in the Lantern Centre on, I think it's Sing Street.
Dublin 8,
on March the 5th at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And I'll be doing something called Havening.
Yeah, which is what we're going to talk about now.
Yeah.
So what is Havening?
Well, Havening is a new groundbreaking scientific set of psychological techniques designed to cure people of anxiety-related issues, things like panic attacks, fears, phobias, distressful memories, post-traumatic stress disorder, things like emotional eating.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing treatment. It was developed by an American doctor called Dr. Ronald Rudin.
Okay.
He has the largest private practice in New York. He's
as a hypnotherapist?
As a medical doctor.
Oh, as a medical doctor.
Wow. He trained in Harvard. His PhD is in neuropharmacology. And he spent over 10 years really researching and developing these techniques by really looking at the brain and how the brain gets affected with trauma. And from working that out, he created these techniques which literally delink the negative emotion from the memories or from the trauma. It switches off the negative feelings.
So, like, for instance, if you have a phobia about things like mice or rats from an incident in your childhood when, you know, a rat bit you or something.
Yeah.
When you're a baby or kid, and you've always got that total panic, freak out thing when you see a rat,
yeah,
you could disassociate that memory from the feeling so that you would see a rat and not freak out.
Yes, absolutely. With havening, like you would take the memory, you'd apply the treatment, and in most cases, under 5 minutes, you can completely and permanently remove it. You can literally cure that phobia.
In 5 minutes?
In 5 minutes with this treatment.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So you don't really get a lot of repeat business.
Yeah, well,
sure, that's not in your best interest.
Well, what I do is it's.
You're already tempted to get them to come back a few times.
Yeah, well, see, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's, you know, I think a lot of people are tired of, you know, especially people who've been through counselling and therapy. You know, they tend to do months off without getting results. What I do is very results oriented, and
mm-hmm.
people come to me because they want results. And there's plenty of people out there not getting results. So to find out about me. And they realize that, you know, I can get results in the space of maybe 2 or 3 sessions or even from 1 session. You know, that's what they want.
So what kind of people have you been working with?
Well, I work with a wide range of people and issues. Obviously, you know, I do quit smoking, I do weight loss. Like over 50% of my clients would be people with anxiety issues. You know, as I said, things like phobias,
mm-hmm.
Trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So I work with a wide range of issues.
Could you give us any examples of successful?
Yeah, well, I remember doing my first havening treatment with someone, and it was a young girl. She came in, she was like 18 years of age, and she was doing her leaving cert, and she couldn't actually go into the exam hall and do the exam because she was having panic attacks.
Right. That's quite common, isn't it? That people panic in those situations?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure.
Mm.
And what happened to her was she went in to do one of the exams. It was like the pre-leaving cert exams, the mock exams,
mm-hmm.
A couple of months before. And she had a massive panic attack. She felt very claustrophobic, very pressurized, and she had a major panic attack in the pre-exam. And when it came to actually the exams itself, you know, she's trying to go in, but she couldn't. She was literally starting to have full-blown panic attacks. So
right.
She was in a pretty bad way. So she came to see myself, and you know, I asked her to close her eyes, go back to the memory of having the panic attack, and instantly, like, she started almost having a panic attack in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
She got really distressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied the havening treatment, and as I said, within about 5 minutes, she went from, like, you know, a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being anxiety was very high, 0 being completely relaxed. We got her down to 0 in about 5 minutes, and it was gone.
Gone.
I asked her to go back again, think about doing the exams. She felt completely relaxed, completely calm.
And what happened when she went in real life into the...
She was fine.
She was totally fine.
That was it. She was absolutely fine.
So in one session of 5 minutes?
Once I identified where the anxiety started from and applied it to treatment, yeah, it took under 5 minutes. And this is why havening is a real breakthrough in the field of psychology. You know, I've studied so many different techniques and different types of psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, NLP. And hands down, like, I hadn't seen anything quite like havening ever.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a break now, but
yeah.
We'll be right back and we will talk more about havening.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Dublin Radio at its best.
So welcome back to The Art of Living, and today I'm talking to Stephen Travers, who is a hypnotherapist, but he also practices a new technique called havening.
Yeah,
I forgot to ask you, Stephen, why is it called havening if the guy who invented it isn't called Mr. Havening?
Yeah, well, the scientific name for it is called amygdala depotentiation therapy.
Okay, and the amygdala is the part of the brain which stores memories?
It's part of something called the limbic system, and the amygdala is at the size of an almond,
mm-hmm.
and it really controls your stress response. It's like the fight or flight control center of the brain, so it really regulates your stress response.
Mm-hmm.
And when people suffer with traumas or phobias or panic attacks, that information gets encoded in the amygdala. And this is what Dr. Rudd discovered.
So it's like running a program?
It's just like there's a set of neurons in the amygdala that get encoded with the information, and something called AMPA receptors get stuck to the neurons in the lateral amygdala. And they sit there in the neurons, these receptors. And if anything reminds the person of the trauma, be it consciously or unconsciously, it reactivates the AMPA receptors, which fire off negative chemicals and hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, and it brings back the negative, the stressful feelings.
Right. So the symptoms come back.
The symptoms come back. Yeah, that's why people start to get, you know, start feeling anxious again, or they start feeling
sweating,
you know, scared. Yeah. You know, it brings back the emotional distress, the autonomic distress, the things like sweating, heart rate, shallow breathing. It brings at least some of it back, if not all of it.
But it might not be the same thing that's triggering the response. Like, it could be something similar or related in some
way. Exactly, that reminds the brain of it.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be the exact same stimuli. Like, if someone, say, had a bad experience in an aeroplane and felt very claustrophobic, it could maybe, you know, could be an elevator that could trigger off that feeling again, because the elevator feels a bit like the aeroplane.
Right. So when someone comes to you with a thing like that, you know, they can't go into an elevator, for instance, how do you find out what it is that's behind the...
Yeah, well, we obviously like do a detailed personal history. You know, I would ask a series of questions to pinpoint and identify where the anxiety started. I look for, you know, the stressful events in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I pinpoint them. So I have a series of questions. And once I've established that, I will apply the treatment. And I suppose it's worth saying, havening is it's called psychosensory therapy, which means we use psychological visualization and actual touch, physical touch.
Yeah, now that is the weird part. Because everything else looks to me very much like normal hypnotherapy, like I've watched you in action.
Yeah.
And until the part where you touch the client,
yeah,
and then it begins to look a bit strange. Can you describe and explain what's going on in that?
Yeah, well, first of all, what we do is we ask the person to think of the traumatic event or the thing that makes them feel distressed. And what that does, that reactivates the amygdala and exposes the AMPA receptors. These receptors cause all the problems. So what we do then is we stroke their arms very gently, and their hands and their face, and we distract them. Like, we'd ask the person to imagine walking along a beach or down a flight of stairs. And what's actually happening in the brain is, as we stroke them, this feels very comforting, soothing and relaxing. That's why we call it havening. It's like we're bringing you to a safe haven. And by actually touching these parts of the body, it creates something called the delta brainwave, which happens in deep sleep or when you feel very relaxed. And this brainwave is electrical. It reads at about 1 to 2 hertz. And this brainwave goes into the neurons with the AMPA receptors, and it creates a chemical called calcineurin. And the calcineurin delinks or dissolves the AMPA receptors off the neurons. And when that happens, the distressful symptoms disappear.
Switch off.
Yeah. And that's what's groundbreaking. It took, you know, there's a bit more neuroscience to it than that, but they're the main points. And it took Dr. Rudin over a decade to work all this out.
Right.
So it's an amazing discovery that he made, because he's actually pinpointed exactly how
it
gets encoded.
Yeah.
And how to delink it.
Because, I mean, I think we're all aware that touch is extremely powerful in affecting the mind and the emotions. I mean, we all know that, you know, if a child is distressed, you sort of like rub its back or its head, or you know, you can rub the feet. And I know that Deepak Chopra has used massage in treatment of drug addicts.
Yeah.
You know, soothing their symptoms with touch.
Yeah.
But obviously, your guy has worked out exactly how it worked.
He's worked out how to use touch to actually clear conditions. So we're using touch with volition. It's extremely intelligent and clever what Dr. Rudin has worked out. It's truly groundbreaking. It's going to, like even Paul McKenna says, it's going to change the face of therapy across the world, and it is.
So what sort of success have you had with people, apart from the Leaving Cert?
Yeah, well, I've worked with hundreds of people using Havening, and I've done thousands of treatments. Mm-hmm. I've helped people get rid of IBS within the space of three sessions.
IBS?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
And what has that got to do with?
Well, it's often generated by stress and anxiety.
Right.
So what we did was we focused on clearing the stress and the anxiety around the IBS, and the IBS symptoms completely disappeared in under three sessions. And he had tried everything, basically. He'd been to doctors, he'd been to IBS medical specialists. He was taking like something like 20 Imodium tablets a week. He tried so many things, and three sessions gone.
Wow.
His video is actually on my website. You can see lots of video testimonials of people.
And your website is?
S-TraversHypnosis.com.
S-TraversHypnosis.com. Okay.
Yeah. There's lots of videos and information there about Havening also.
And any other interesting cases that you've had?
Well, I had a lady come in, and she thought she had vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, she'd been to vertigo specialists, but it wasn't shifting.
Right.
And you know, the symptoms of vertigo was she was feeling dizzy, she was feeling unbalanced, she couldn't walk across roads properly.
Yeah.
She actually had a walking stick she needed. She felt that.
Right.
You know, really unbalanced within herself. And she was getting these dizzy spells. And I wasn't even going to see her, because it's not something I really work with, you know, vertigo.
Yeah.
But she was really desperate. She tried so much. She'd read my website, and she just felt that I could do something for her. So I said, look, we'll bring you in for a session and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did my usual thing at the beginning. I talked to her about where did it begin. And we discovered she's on holiday in Italy, and she's going up one of these, you know, mountains. You know, there was no railings or anything, you know, very steep. And as she's going up the mountain, she's in a car with her husband, she looked at the side and she just seen this massive drop and fall. And she got really, really dizzy and scared and frightened. She thought she was going to fall off the mountain.
Right.
And from that day forward, she seemed to develop these symptoms of vertigo, which is quite, you know, interesting. So, you know, I asked her to stand up in my therapy room and look out the window, and she seemed fine, because I was trying to work out what's triggering it. I asked her to look at the trees and then look at the road. I noticed as well, when she looked at the road, she started getting dizzy.
Right.
And she had a couple of negative experiences as well, where she was trying to cross roads and she started getting very dizzy and panicky.
Mm-hmm.
So what I simply did was I havened the event of the car journey in Italy going up the mountain, and I had a couple of the events of when she felt very distressed and she's having vertigo symptoms crossing the road, and it just completely disappeared within the session.
So she doesn't have it anymore?
She doesn't have it anymore.
Wow.
That was one session.
That's great.
I did not expect that to happen at all. I was just, you know, she really wanted to come in. I said, look, we'll give it a go and see what happens, and it completely disappeared. I actually had very little faith that we were going to get, you know, any type of result. I thought this was something that maybe that was hardwired or biological.
Or biological, yeah.
You know,
so about stuff like smoking, weight loss, that type of stuff?
Yeah, well, Havening is very useful also for people who get compulsions, you know, compulsions to smoke or compulsions to eat.
Compulsions
to text.
Or to check your phone. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, that is actually a compulsion.
Yeah,
well,
people go to therapists now for social media addiction.
Yeah, sure they do.
Internet addiction. So
can't live without it.
It's not a surprise
with
all these smartphones. So with Havening, we can help people with cravings and compulsions, as in we can switch them off.
Right.
And we can teach people how to use something called self-Havening. So if they do get a craving or compulsion, they can apply the treatment. It only takes a couple of minutes, and they can completely switch off the compulsion, and it just helps them feel a lot more calm, relaxed, and in control.
So have you had good results with things like smoking?
Well, I use Havening all the time with smoking, and I also use it in my weight loss program. Like, all the research shows us that emotional eating is the number one cause of obesity in Western society.
Yeah.
So you know, if you look at the cause of why people are eating a lot, it's got to do with stress, anxiety, negative emotions.
Yes.
So really what we do is we use the head and then to get to the root cause and deal with those negative emotions and clear them. And once that's done, it's much easier for the person to have, you know, a more positive relationship with food. So that's really the key to it.
And is it the same with smoking?
With smoking, it's a little bit different. You know, we teach people to use self-haven, especially over the first week or two when they quit. So if they do get a craving or a compulsion, they can apply the treatment and it switches off the craving within about 2 minutes.
And how are your people doing with it?
Very well. Like, I give a guarantee with smoking.
You do?
A lifetime guarantee.
A lifetime guarantee.
And the guarantee is quit smoking in one session, or you would get free sessions until you do.
Interesting.
So,
and I mean, have you had people having to come back?
Yeah, sometimes. It's rare. I do only work with people who are, you know, highly motivated and really want to quit. But most people, after one session, they're fine. Sometimes people do have a relapse, maybe they go out drinking, or
yes,
a very stressful period happens soon afterwards. But the vast majority of people are absolutely fine. And if they do need to come back, we pinpoint what's causing the problem and we just treat it.
Right.
Be it with havening or hypnosis or some other tools and techniques.
So where do people work with you? Where do you practice?
My main two offices are in Dublin 7 and Dublin 4. So there's, you know, a clinic for the north side and a clinic for the south side.
You're segregated.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'm not originally from Dublin, but you know, I did discover when I moved to Dublin that, you know,
it's highly segregated.
It's interesting, put it that way. Some people, well, it's easier geographically for people.
Could you cure people of a compulsion to, you know, to express that, what do you call it? I suppose it's a form of racism, isn't it?
Well, it's, I suppose it's more so a social class thing or a type of snobbery, just the north side, south side mindset. I haven't tried it yet. I don't think either side would want to be cured from it, though. I think they enjoy it some way, you know. You know, but it's just geographically it works as well for people, you know. So
StephenTravers.com?
It's stephentravershypnosis.com. We just put Stephen Travers.
And you'll find
hypnotherapy or havening into Google, and lots of information will come up.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, and I'll be back again next week with another amazing person on the Art of Living radio show.